kept you. It's nice to see you back, Andrew. I've really, really missed you and your good lady. There's tea and coffee in a small hall, and there's a board meeting on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Okay? And all visitors are very, very welcome. Thank you.
Out. I put it in myself, and usually Rebecca puts it in for me. That's it, I think. Thanks. Thank you. It's nice to be back with you again. Great God is, and greatly to be praised. Let all the earth sing praises to his name. This is God's house, and as we gather now for worship, let's worship God, the first hymn 286, the head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now.
Suffer with the
And now let us worship God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, once again we come to gather for worship. We do so to meet our friends, but also to meet with you. For in worship's hour we know that you come closer to you than to us than ever at any other time. And so we seek your presence in our lives and our hearts now, helping us to know that you are listening. You are listening to our prayers and our thoughts, and ever ready to answer them, not always as we would wish, but according to your wish and our needs. So come, Lord God, fill us with your Spirit as we worship today. We acknowledge that our lives are so easily turned from your teaching, and sometimes we even forget that you are with us in life. Our thoughts are not always your thoughts. Our ways are not always your ways. And for this we seek forgiveness. Forgive us when we forget you in the midst of the turmoil of life, and help us again and again to come back to you in thought and in deed, day by day. Forgive us our faults and our failings in life, and bring us closer to you than ever before, so that today as we start a new life in Christ within us, speak and help us to obey. Be with us now in worship's hour, and send us out into the everyday world, happy to have been with you and to have received your blessing. So we ask these prayers in Jesus' name, and in his words we further pray together and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. It's nice to see you, boys and girls. I wonder if any of you received cards of any kind recently. In your house, perhaps. Anybody get an Easter card? I brought some with me to show you. I got a number of people sent me, and I sent a number of cards. These, Happy Easter, it says. That's always a nice card to get at this time of the year. There's also other ones. Sometimes people give you something, and sometimes you want to say thanks. You send them a wee thank you card. That's all. Now, postage is getting bad these days with this. It's worth sending. There's another one more for boys and girls. It's a birthday card. Yes, of course it is. There's another one that was just a thank you card I got. Lovely dog, isn't it? Anybody get dogs? You get a dog? No? No good. And then there's another one. Again, it was just a card I got for somebody thanking me. And this one, I think this one's very important. You see what it says? Get well. You send it to somebody who's not well. And it's good to get these. I sometimes think we should get a card, get better, rather than get well. Because some of us don't go very well these days anyway. But I think get well is a good card to send to somebody. Because they're lying in bed and they're maybe feeling down. And suddenly a card comes and they know that somebody's remembering them. But as I say, to me, it's better to say get better. Here's another card that I have that is slightly different. I wonder if you know what it is. Yes? Is it one the doctor? Yes, it's a prescription. A prescription when you're not well, the doctor gives you that to make you better. And I've seen so many of these. I've got such a list of these, all the things I have to get. But that's the doctor trying to make you well. But as I say, get better, somehow to me, is an even better thing. And you know, the thing I would prove to you is getting better is this. This book. This book is trying to teach us how to get better with God. There's a whole lot of stories in this Bible, and it's a very big book, but sometimes you can read stories from it, and we do so in church and sometimes at home, and it helps us to live better. It helps us, for instance, you get a will card and you know what's what to do better, but the Bible somehow or other teaches us that if you follow Jesus, you are getting better in life. And I think that's important, because we want to get better and better and better as we try to follow Jesus. And it's when we're doing that that Jesus blesses us and helps us in everything that we try to do. So every time you get a card, remember, a get well card or a get better card. And the best one is the Bible. Now we're going to sing your hymn 417, God is always near me. Now that all the toys are grown up. Now let's hear the word of God. As we find it, first of all, in the Old Testament, in the first letter to Samuel chapter 3, and reading at verse 1. Samuel chapter 3, and reading at verse 1. This is a story that I'm sure most of you know very well. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In these days the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here am I." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, and you called me." But Eli said, "I didn't call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. And so Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling out as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Amen. Here ends our Old Testament lesson. Our New Testament lesson is from St. Luke's Gospel, in the last part of St. Luke's Gospel. St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 28:4, and reading at verse 36. This is part of the story after the resurrection. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do your doubts raise your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled, and that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scripture, and he told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power of on high." And when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Amen. May God bless to us these readings from his holy word. To his name be all the glory and the praise. The hymn 507, "Father Eternal, Ruler of Creation."
Spirit.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I wonder, a silly question, but how many of you watch television? I'm pretty certain all of you do, perhaps some more than others. And I wonder what your favourite programme is. I suppose we might get a terrific number of variety of answers to that. But with the men folk, I suppose I would be pretty safe in saying football. We don't have Sky television. One of the reasons is it's too dear, and the other is the reason that if we had Sky television, I would be accused of watching nothing else but football. But to be honest, when I do put football on, Her Ladyship does watch it and is inclined to shout out, "That's offside," or "That's a penalty," much more than I do. I have to admit, I only once took my wife to a football match. It was to see Rangers at Ibrox Park. We got into the stand, and she said that every time Rangers was going to score a goal, the crowd stood up, and she couldn't see anything happening at all. And she got a bit fed up with this, because I'd given her a cloth and put around, keep her warm. And by the time she got all that off and started up, there's something else that happened. But never again did I try to take her. In fact, that particular day, Rangers were playing Queen's Park, the amateur club, and they beat Rangers. So I decided she was a bad omen and I wouldn't bother taking her again. But one of the programs that I never miss and always tape if I'm going out when it's on is that old favourite, Neighbours. I watched it for more years than I can remember, and I do remember way at the start, it was more a children's programme, and I used to see some of the situations that went on, and as a minister, I sometimes felt I wanted to get involved with them, try to help them, give them some advice and so on. Nowadays, there seems to be more hopping out and in a bed with partners, male and female, that I would not be in a position to give any advice in that matter. But still, I still watch that program. Another program that many people watch, I've seen it, but I watch a lot, is Frasier. I wonder, out of curiosity, hands up many of you who watch that program, Frasier. Not terribly many, a few of you, yes, that's right, a few of you. Well, you know, the star is Kelsey Grammer, a radio psychiatrist. He moved back to Seattle after his divorce, and by moving back, he had been reunited with his brother Miles and his father Martin. They'd all gone to the country for a holiday, away from all the stresses and strains of living. But despite getting away from the business town life and stresses, they all found that in the country they were having vivid dreams. Niles was having nightmares about being a father for the first time. Daphne was having nightmares that having a child, her good looks would be spoiled, and worried that her husband might go off with another woman. And Frasier couldn't sleep because he felt so alone and so deserted. Martin, the father, was not as well educated as the others. but he had some good old-fashioned advice in his thoughts. He got them together and he said to Niles, "You're afraid you won't be a good father? Well, join the club," because we all felt that when the first baby was born. To Daphne, he said, "You're scared of losing your good looks? All women feel that way, but it'll soon pass and your husband will still be more interested in you than anybody else." And to you, Fraser, "You think at the moment that you're all alone in the world, and yet look around you. The whole family is here with you to help you." And he said to them all, "For goodness sake, get real. Look at the good things in life and not just the bad. See the good and not just the bad." And you know, as we've come to worship this morning, just after Easter, I have to say that these words and thoughts resonated in my mind last weekend. See the good and not the bad. You see, if Easter tells us anything, it tells us just that. Look to the good and not to the bad. You know, it's so easy in life today to see the negative and not see the positive. These disciples, we read about them, they were exactly the same. Despite Jesus had said, "I told you about this," all they could see was the crucifixion. Nothing but negative as far as they could see. Jesus had been arrested, he'd been tried, he'd hung on a death on a tree. There was no innocent until you were proved guilty in these days. And his death on the cross, as far as they were concerned, was the very end. Oh, they had good memories as far as they were concerned. He had told them otherwise, but they had just not taken it in. And there in the garden, and there the woman looking for Jesus, she tells them, and they begin to understand what he'd been trying to tell them, the key to that situation, to look for the good instead of dwelling on the bad. And you know, as well as I do, you know is that it's so easy to concentrate on the bad things in life. So easy to concentrate on the things that are really pulling us down. Even in our television, only the bad news makes good television. Only the bad news sells newspapers. Headlines that sells the papers are nearly always bad. But with Easter, here was this badness, and suddenly the good news. He's dead, but he is risen. That was the good news. And you know, that is what makes what life is all about. In our troubles and our sorrows, there are dark times. I had one of them quite recently. You know, as many of you know, I've had a couple of operations for cancer in my ear, and they all went very well. And the last time I was at the doctor, he said to me, "Oh, don't come back for 4 months." And I thought, that's great. And we're back a few weeks ago after 4 months, and I expected him just to say to me, "Ah, that's fine, on you go, don't come back." He didn't. He said, "There's something else I want to do there. You'll need to come in for another operation." And I was gobsmacked, really, because I was so up, everything was all right. But then I thought to myself, well, I'm under his hands, he's a good surgeon, and I'll be perfectly all right. Easter, the good, he is dead, but he is risen. You know, in our troubles, he's always there, supporting and helping and lifting. And even in death, he is there assuring us that for us and our loved ones, he will prepare a place for us in eternity. No wonder we speak about the good news. When people criticize the church, I feel I always want to point them finger to them to Easter, where the good news came from bad. The message from Easter Day, the good news of Easter time. And I think we must always try to see the good news in our lives and know that God is there triumphant and helping us in all that we seek to do. Good always triumphs over evil. Let us pray. Lord God, give us the faith to believe that Easter came last week to help us to believe and to know that good, not evil, always triumphs in our lives. Help us to live with that assurance in our hearts. We ask that the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again to show us his triumph over life in all its difficulties, even to death itself, and help us to go forth from this place remembering the good news of the risen Christ. We ask it in his name. Amen. Now let us worship with our offering. Now our offering prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, in your goodness and your love, we are ever surrounded. And we ask you to look on us now as we offer the symbols of our love for you. Accept these gifts in token of our love and use them and the givers for your holy purposes in the world. We ask this our offering prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as Jesus taught that we should always think of others, our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Lord God, once again we join together in our prayers to seek your listening ear. We pray at this time not for ourselves, but for others in need. We pray for the needy, the distressed, the frightened, and the perplexed. For those whose lives are in turmoil and who need your strength. We pray for those in sorrow, that their hearts may be lifted up by the message of Easter and the resurrecting power of Jesus, who died and rose again to show us the way to eternal life. We pray for parents with children, trying to bring them up in the right paths. And we pray for the elderly whose days are long and often filled with pain. We pray for those who work hard to make a living, and ask for your strength in their lives as they look forward into the future, an unknown and sometimes a frightening future. May they see in you the future with peace and joy in their hearts. We pray for the world of today and tomorrow. And whatever that world may be in the future, may your name be foremost in the lives of leaders and people the world over. Where wars exist, bring peace. Where hatred and evil exist, cast them aside with your message of love. And we ask you to use the church, to use us as the church, in bringing to our own land thy peace, which passes all understanding. We bless the church and the world, and we remember those congregations who have been devastated by hatred, by bombs, and by evil. We ask you to come to them and help them. We ask you to bless this congregation of your people, its minister, elders, and people, to show a true Christian community within this community, working for good and for Christ. And as a presbytery, we pray for the congregation of Dalry St. Margaret's, its interim minister, moderator, Margaret Howie, and all who serve there. And we offer our thanks, Lord, for the faithful departed, for those whom we have loved and lost, and help us to know that we will meet again in that land of pure delight, which we call heaven. So we ask these and all our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Our concluding hymn is the hymn 430, "Take Up Thy Cross," the Saviour said. Am I right in saying I missed out a hymn? My apologies, my apologies. Must be old age. The blessing. Lord God, our worship is over, and now we seek your blessing as we go our various ways. Help us to live as Christian folk in the community, to follow your Son's way in life. And may grace, mercy, and peace, and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with each one of you, with all whom you love, and with all God's children everywhere, now and forevermore.
Oh, right.